Okay. Let's see. We are still marveling. We have been marveling at the goodness of God. We have been marveling at our salvation now since May of last year. You're like, when are we going to stop doing this? Well, maybe never, right? Like, we could go on and on and on and on about the goodness of God. We know that our salvation is a gift from Him. With that gift comes eternity in heaven, but also all of this other awesome stuff. All of the, you know, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, you know, like the Bible. In Sunday school this morning, this thing is a gift to us from our God. And this morning during Sunday school, what I'm trying to do is get our students to understand, like, how good this thing really is. Right, and so we just started reading in Titus, and we're just breaking it apart verse by verse. And it's just like, if you're not letting this thing get in, if you're not, you need to be reading this thing. And so, like, this is not just for the students. This is for all of you. Please be reading this thing. You have, this is the only concrete thing we have from Jesus. This is it. Like, our emotions will betray us. Our, you know, our pastors will betray us. Our friends and family will lie to us. You can get Facebook theology forever, and it will betray you. But this will not. So read it. It's good. Read it. Spend time reading it. Okay. So what we're in now is we're talking about love. All right? One other thing. If, going back to the Bible, sorry. I just had a thought. One great way to protect yourself from me standing up here telling you something that's not true is to read this thing for yourselves. Because it's very possible that I stand up here and lie, right? It happens. Like, what was it? I mixed up the command. I've mixed up two. I've had to apologize twice now. Once for the commandments, I had them in the wrong order or something like that. And then about Good Friday was or whatever. See, I was all mixed up, right? And I study this thing all the time. So you need to read it so that you can catch me in mistakes and make sure that I'm not lying to you. I'm not trying to. Anyway, all right. So now we're talking about love. We're going to be in love for a very long time because love is big. Love is hard. Love is enormous, right? Love is a gift that we receive from God. It's a gift that we can give to others. And love is, it's big, right? Love is hard even for your dogs. I was thinking about that this week, right? I was like, who loves you like a dog? Have you ever heard that joke? Like, if you want to know who loves you more, your wife or your dog, lock them both in the trunk of your car, and then after an hour, go back and see who's glad to see you, right? Like, you heard that before? Right. The dog will be happy to see you. The wife, not so much. All right. Anyway, dogs can't even love you the way that God wants us to love each other, the way that God loves us. Look, love is patient. That's where we're at this week. We're talking about love is patient. How many of you have a puppy dog that will wait for you to set your... It's every day when I come home. The dogs are excited. They're barking. They're whatever. And every day, I have the same... I feel stupid even telling you this. I have the same conversation with the dogs every day. Just let me set my stuff down. Let me set my stuff down. So I get my stuff set down, and then I'll pet you. And so every day, not even your dogs can be patient. Not even your dogs can love you the way that God can. It's love is hard, and dogs love great, right? And just for the record, cats don't love you. So you're like, oh no, my cat loves me. No, your cat doesn't love you. Your cat doesn't love you. All right. Now, so let's read the scripture that we're talking about. Okay. This is last week, I guess. I guess last week I never even actually said the name of the script. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, this scripture here, what I've done, I've taken a couple of chunks and I smushed them together, or a couple of different translations, and I smushed them together because I'm spending time in the Greek and stuff. I just wanted it to have the best version of what I thought it was. So these are two different translations. So if you're reading it out of your Bible, it's why it doesn't look the same. So now that turns us into a list. This is what love is, right? And this is what we, this is how we need to be treating each other. This is how we need to treat God. This is how we need to treat our spouses. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. We need to be not jealous, not boastful, not proud, not rude. We need to not demand our own way. We need to not be irritable. And so this is a big list. This is hard to accomplish. Because this is real love. Remember, like we learned last week, you cannot fall in love. That doesn't exist. It's not a thing that happens. You can give emotions away. You can assign emotions to a particular thing or to a particular person. But it's love. This kind of love right here doesn't happen by accident. This kind of love right here only happens by choice. You're not just going to meet that boy or that girl and giggle in each other's face and then this happens, right? Because that boy or that girl doesn't put the toilet seat down, or that boy or that girl didn't put their socks away, or they get grumpy or whatever. And then you have to start leaning into this list if you're really going to love somebody, even if they're super awesome, like my wife is. So every week, this is what we're going to do as we go through this, because this week we're on patience. Love is patient. Every week we're going to answer these questions. What is it? How is God this way? And what does it mean to love your neighbor, your family, or your spouse in this way? That's what we're going to do for the next however many weeks we are in this, 15, 16 weeks. These are the questions we're going to answer. So this is the definition that I have come up with, patience. I smooshed a couple of them together from different dictionaries. So, calmly, all right, so we've already lost a lot of you. Calmly or without complaint, accept or tolerate trouble, delay, or suffering. So, when trouble, delay, or suffering happens, we have to calmly or without complaint accept or tolerate it. That is patience. And some of us are better at that than others. And that's a pretty tough decision. I mean, particularly I think about when I'm on the roads, when I'm driving. I often don't tolerate delay on the road without complaint. I can most of the time remain calm, but not without complaint. And so, I'm always complaining. In fact, nope, I'm not going to even tell that story. Okay, let's move on. So, how is God this way? All right, how is God this way? So we're going to read some scriptures in Genesis, quite a few scriptures. So buckle up, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. Then the men got up from their meal and looked out toward Sodom. As they left, Abraham went with them to send them on their way. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? I guess let me give you some backstory. So God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He has come and he has visited with Abraham, and these are, Jesus came with a couple of buddies, or God came with a couple of buddies, and they had supper with Abraham. Should I hide my plan from Abraham, the Lord asked, for Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. That includes you. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do this for I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I'm going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. The other men turned and headed toward Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham, and Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city. Will you sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why would you be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same? Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And the Lord replied, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake. Then Abraham spoke again. Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord. Even though I am but dust and ashes, suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of five? And the Lord said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 righteous people there. Then Abraham pressed his request further. Suppose there are only 40. And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. Please don't be angry with me, my Lord, Abraham pleaded. Let me speak. Suppose there are only 30 righteous people found. And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it if I find 30. Then Abraham said, since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there are only 20. And the Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Finally, Abraham said, Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose there are only 10 found there. And the Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. When the Lord finished his conversation with Abraham, he went on his way, and Abraham returned to his tent. This is a fantastic story in patience. I wish that we were more like this. So here's Sodom and Gomorrah. It is full of sin. Gobs and gobs and gobs of sin. It's full of sin. And the Lord decides they have to be punished, okay? Now, here's the difference in the Lord and us, particularly me and my house. I will just pop off and hand out a punishment, right? I'll just get angry and just do it, right? The Lord sees it. He wants to take his time. He's patient about this. In fact, in verse 20, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I'm going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. Like, what I think is interesting about this is God is omniscient. He already knows. So he's just having this conversation with Abraham for the sake of Abraham, for the sake of us reading it all these years later. He already knows what's going on. He already knows what he's decided to do. But he did it patiently, right? In your house, when it's time for a kid to get punished, do you just pop off and hand out a punishment, or do you take your time and decide? It's tough. When it's time to, like, when you and your spouse are sort of at each other, do you stop and take a moment, or do you just pop off at the mouth? That happens with all of us. Okay, so here's the way the Lord, because I'm stepping on the rest of my sermon, here's the way that the Lord is patient. The Lord waited to destroy them. They had to be punished for their sin. They had to be punished. We have to be punished for our sin. But if you're in Jesus, then all of that punishment was laid on him. If you're not in Jesus, then your punishment is still coming. But you got to be punished for sin. And he waited, he delayed calmly. Now that's wonderful news for us. The Lord also listened to Abraham. Now here's this pile of dust and ashes talking to God. Right? That's what I mean. He even calls himself that. Even though I am but dust and ashes. So here's Abraham talking to God. He is nothing to God. In reference to, you know, like, power or authority. He is nothing to God. And yet, he argues with the Lord. It's almost like Abraham wanted to bargain, but he set it too high. And so, you know, if you go to a car salesman and you're like, I'll give you 50 bucks for this car, or what, not 50, but then you can't go backwards from there. Like, but the Lord let him go backwards, because if you offer 50 for a car, you're not getting it for 10. That ain't happening. Right? But the Lord let him go backwards and let him talk and let him talk him down and talk him down and talk him down. Now, we know most of the story that clearly there were not 10 righteous people there because the Lord destroyed it anyway. But the Lord did it with a great deal of patience. And that's how our Lord is patient. And this is just one of a jillion examples in the Bible of the Lord's patience. I mean, I think from the time when they left the Red Sea it was like 700 some odd years before he actually, anyway, the Lord displays great patience, and that's good for us. So what does it mean to love our neighbor with patience? Now, every time I thought of something that bothers me, right, because that was, these are my examples, right, what does it mean to love my neighbor with patience, every time I thought of an example of that was when somebody was in my way. And so clearly, I am a selfish person. Clearly, I am frustrated with people who slow me down. Like, you know, in the grocery store, what would it mean to me if I just waited for somebody to move out of the way? If I just stood to the side and just waited? Like, how big of a hurry am I really in? And so I would ask you the same question. When somebody is sitting still at a green light. I mean, we can't let that go on forever because that causes chaos, right? But when somebody's sitting still at a green light, like, are you losing your mind over that? What does it mean to love our neighbor that way? I think it means we patiently stand back and we'll get our lucky charms in a minute. Or you ever get this at the grocery store? Two buggies, two ladies standing there talking to each other, and they just are just oblivious to the rest of the world, right? And as much as that, like, is frustrating because their selfishness is jamming up the aisle, are you really in that big of a hurry? Do you really got somewhere you got to be, like, right now? Like, I get it. You know, you just got off work. You got to stop by the grocery store to pick up whatever you need on your way home. But it's just so you can get in your pajamas, right? You're not in that big of a hurry. Your pajamas will still be there when you get home. I mean, okay, or here's another one. And I heard Ron Cron complain about this week, and I knew immediately I had to mention it. No. Ron's not guilty of this. Or at least if he is, he's not. He didn't tell me that story. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to throw him under the bus. He was talking about he had dialed a 1-800 number for some kind of insurance situation. How frustrating are these people, right? Have you ever had to call a cable company? Oh, my gosh, right? It's maddening, these people. It's just maddening. But you know what? You know who's on the other side of the phone? A human. And they deserve your love. That human deserves your patience because they're a human too. Now, we might be frustrated at their policies and procedures. Maybe that makes you angry. Maybe that's frustrating in the way that it works out like that. But that's still a person. That person on the other side of the one, or the spam call. You get spam calls. That's still a person. Despite the fact that they've chosen a frustrating job, it's still a human being that still deserves your love because they're still your neighbor. Now, that's hard because I don't want to love those people. I don't. Like, when you've been transferred four times through some 1-800 number thing, like Verizon used to, oh, my gosh. And when you've been, like, it's just hard to hold it together. I don't want to love these people, but I am required to do so because of God's love. Because he's patient with me. And if he wasn't, I would be long gone. Folks, I'm a sinner. And the Lord knows it. And if he wasn't patient with me, he would have destroyed me a long time ago. Okay, so what does it mean? That's what it looks like to love your neighbor that way. What does it mean to love your family this way, particularly like with your kids or your spouse? And I talked about this a moment ago. What would it mean to punish your kids? Because your kids still have to be punished. They do. They do things that you have to train them in the way that they go. And I'm not in any way suggesting that we should let our children slide when they break rules and things like that. Not in any way. But what would it be like if we remained calm? What would it be like if it's instead of just popping off and boom, you've lost your privileges for a month or whatever, give me your car keys or whatever the situation is. What would it be like if we walked away to the closet, got our composure, prayed about it a little bit? Father, I want to be patient with my children. I want to love them the way that you love them. I want to care about them the way you care about them. Father, help me to assign a punishment based on based on the patient way that you are with me. I mean, what would it be like if we did that? That would be much harder, but it's possible. And we may find that when we calm down, that it was a disrespect or some kind of thing that's not as big a deal as we once thought it was. What would it be like if we did that? Or your spouse. The same thing is true of your spouse. You get into some sort of disagreement with your spouse, instead of just popping off at the mouth, like I know some of you guys do, instead of just, well, blah, 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 and then, you know, and then now starts the fight. What if we also took time and just go lock yourself in your closet for a minute? If that's what it takes, Father, I want to love my spouse the way that you love me. I want to love my spouse the way that you love my spouse. Father, help me to be patient as I deal with my spouse. And it may be that in one, you know, whatever, 5-hour evening, you spend 3 of them in the closet trying to get yourself together. But if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. It's better to spend 3 hours in the closet getting yourself calmed down, praying about it, than it would be to fight with your spouse all night. I'd rather spend hours in the closet talking to Jesus than spend hours in the living room arguing with my wife. That's better. And they'll begin to appreciate that, and they'll begin to respond in the same way. That's just the way that works. Now, I want to put a thing out here. Children in the room, students, teenagers. Okay, I want you to hear me say this. This is not just the job of your parents. It's not just their responsibility to love you. It's your responsibility to love them. Okay? So you can't pop off at the mouth either. If you need to go hide in your closet, then you have to. Whatever it takes to love your parents. It's not just the parents' job to love the children. The children, it's their responsibility also. So you need to hear me say that. Because sure enough, this afternoon, some teenager will pop off. Well, you're not loving me the way the pastor said you're supposed to love me. That's not going to fly, because it's your job to love your parents the same way. It's hard not to make eye contact with my own kid during that time, you know. So, yes, it is. It's your job to love your parents. It's our job to love everybody like this. If you're hearing this, you call yourself a Christian, it's your job to love everybody this. How many of you work like with the public, like at a job where you deal with people all the time, always? Like, oh gosh, like at the woodshed or whatever, customers would just make you insane. But it is our job to maintain our love for those people. Same. As much as it is easy to love the people in this room, because we all are like-minded, we all have the same type of goals, we all, you know, we have a lot in common. This group has a lot in common, and it's easy to love one another in here. As much as it is easy, we have to give the same love we give to each of these people as we give to each of those people. So, okay. Now, what does it mean to love God with your patience? You have to wait. And that's all you have. Okay? So, it's been a few months ago. The Lord did something in my heart, right? And it was in this very room. I was praying, and man, the Lord showed up and was talking to me about something, and I feel like it's coming. And we got to the end of it, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm convinced. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm your guy. I'll whatever. What do you want me to do now? And this is real. This is an actual story that happened to me in this building. And I felt the Lord say, wait. And then His Holy Spirit just left. Or His heaviness left. I'll say it that way. His Holy Spirit is with me always. And so, okay, I guess that's what I'll do. I'll just wait. Because I have no other recourse. What, am I going to push Him around? Okay, God, you said I'm going to do a thing. Let me do the thing. Let's do it now. You can't push God around. You've got no control in this situation. You can't tell Him, okay, Lord, I'm ready for my blessing in this way. I'm ready for or if you're young in this room, I'm ready for my spouse. Bring him on. You can't push Him around. You can't tell Him what to do. He's not listening to you like that. So all you have, is wait patiently. That's all you got. Anything else, and you're wasting your breath. The Lord, He cares about you. He wants to give you what He wants to give you on His timetable, not on yours. So what does it mean to love the Lord patiently? You just gotta wait. And some of us are waiting for some serious things. Like, I know there are people in this room who are praying for your loved ones who don't know Him. And you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're praying. And you even feel like the Lord is going to get them. The Lord is going to get them someday. And you just don't know when. And so all you can do is wait. Now, in the process of waiting, you still have to keep being obedient. You still have to keep working. You still, like, the Lord told me something, you know, whatever that was a few months ago. I'm still reading my Bible. I'm still praying. I'm not, like, I didn't just, like, okay, go into wait mode and sit around and twiddle my thumbs. I'm still doing stuff. I'm still studying my Bible. I'm still preaching. I'm still praying. I'm still doing what God has asked me to do, because the last thing I heard was, keep doing this. Okay, so I'll keep doing this. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And so if you wait on the Lord, and this translation says trust, but that's wrong. It shouldn't say that. It's wait. The Lord, the word is wait. If you wait on the Lord, then He renews you. And that's all you really have anyway. Because again, you can't push Him around. You can't tell Him what's what. Well, I'm going to do this now. You can't tell Him that. So wait patiently. And love Him through that. And as you wait, He will renew you. Because He knows you. He knows you. He knows you inside and out. He knows what you're worried about. He knows the stuff that you're fixated on. He knows the stuff that you're trying to control. And He cares about that. And so He says, wait on Me. I'll do the thing. You just wait on Me, and I'll renew you as we go along. That's really good. That's really good. So, like I told you, love is hard. Love is hard. We're going to be doing this for 15 weeks. And so, I encourage you, love patiently. This week, let it begin to eat at you as you lose your patience. Let it begin to, like let it begin to bother you. Because sometimes here's what happens. Like, you hear a sermon like this, and then, you know, you're at the first stoplight when you leave here, and somebody's sitting still at a green light. Or you're right at home, and it's not even 2 hours after the sermon, and your kid has lost their mind or whatever it is, and so you're losing your mind. Like, it happens right after this, and then you push it away. Well, it's okay this time. And then, well, it's okay for me to lose my patience this time, and it's okay for me to lose my patience, and so on. And then this sermon crumbles and it's gone. But the Lord's trying to do work in your life. He's trying to make you better. He's trying to make you more loving. And so when it comes that you're like, the Lord is talking to me about this patience thing, and you then actually go to your closet if that's what you got to do. Let us go and love each other patiently. Amen. We'll win souls that way. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, You're good and You're wonderful and You're holy. And thank You, thank You, thank You that You are patient with us always, Father, that You're always patient with us, Father. God, I thank You that Your Son came and He died on the cross so that we could know You, so we could rest in You, so we could not face Your punishment, Father. Thank You that we escaped the Sodom and Gomorrah of this era. God, help us as a group, as a church, to love You, to love our spouses, to love our families, and to love our neighbors patiently. God, as You speak to us about this week, as You confront us about this week, help us to not push it off, but Father, help us to absorb it and to love You deeply and to be patient and to fight for more patience. God, You're good and holy, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so that's it. I'm done talking. I guess I'm not. If I could meet with the Nicaragua people again, very briefly. Otherwise, you guys have a great week, Super Bowl night, and be patient.